Just before you take a walk, oh, can we talk? I thought I'd make you weak in the knees. Come on, babe.
Come on, babe.
Don't turn me down. Don't be thinking I'm crazy.
Crazy.
Can't you hear the sound? The sound of your heart coming around.
You just heard a snippet of the latest single, Heart Coming Around, by the most awarded independent country artist in Canada, Jamie Warren. Jamie has been awarded multiple Junos, CCMAs, and Ontario Country Music Awards in his career, with 62 singles from 9 studio albums, including a greatest hit album in 2004. Jamie's new single, Heart Coming Around, is the third song release from his next studio album, the follow-up to The Secret to Life. Here to talk about his latest single is country artist Jamie Warren.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm fine. I have to tell you, I got a chuckle from the email that Lauren sent me yesterday, that apparently she was setting it up as a Zoom thing, and I was thinking, okay, maybe I have to shower and stuff like that. And then your response was, no, Jamie won't get a chance to show up as tan. And so that made me howl. That was funny.
I said, poor Jamie. First time he's had a tan in a long time other than golfing,
oh,
right?
Oh, I know. Exactly.
So how have you been since I had you on the show last?
Good. You know, it's just, I don't know. I almost said the word transitioning. It's kind of like, it seems like we're out of this pandemic. The reason I'm going to laugh is I've been watching the news and they're chatting a little bit about the sixth wave.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that said too, the variants are calmer. People aren't getting quite as sick. But yeah, there's a few shows that I had left over from 2 years ago that are resurfacing. And so it kind of looks like it might be a normal summer.
Well, wouldn't that be wonderful?
It would be really cool. I mean, it's one of those things where sometimes you don't really know what you miss till you see it again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not usually the statement or the lyric that goes in a song. But sometimes you just get into this lull and then, yeah. And so I'm looking forward to playing.
Are you going to the CMAOs this year?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going. I'm hosting the iconic. I was joking with Burl. I said the older folks show. And notice, though, I always use, Anne's taught me this, is I say older.
Mm.
I don't ever say without the ER.
That's right.
And I include myself in that category, right? So I'm kind of, it's self-deprecating sense of humor. But yeah, we're doing it at the Purple Hill. So Burl had reached out to me to co-host that, and I said sure.
Oh, it's great there, isn't it? At Purple Hill.
And then we'll attend the events too. I mean, the good news too for us is it's London, so we're a half hour away.
Yeah, it's perfect, absolutely perfect. And that way you get to see everybody. I think Michelle's coming out to this one.
Yeah, well, that's part of the Burl was saying, would I like to do it? And I said, yeah, sure. And she said, I think you may not know the people. And I said, oh, okay. And it was Michelle Wright, Lace, Bev, right? And Thomas Wade. It's like,
don't know those people at all.
No way.
That's funny. Considering you and Thomas are like amazing friends. And
well, yeah. And Bev and I have been writing together a bunch over the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I met her when she was 11.
Wow.
Yeah, I've got stories. I mean, Michelle was interesting because I was based out of Belmont in the beginning of my band, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like I had a London connection and Michelle was out of the Chatham area, but she had a London connection too. And so we would chat occasionally. I mean, obviously we'd bump into each other. And I did not say this out loud. We may or may not be the same exact age. Anyway, I'm way older than Michelle. That's what I want to say. But yeah, we were both like 23, and we'd have chats occasionally. And she came to see me, or I came to see her at JR's. I'm trying to think of which one of us was playing. That was the London Club down in the East End.
Mm-hmm.
Because she wanted me, because I knew London a little bit, this guy wanted to manage her, and she wanted to know if I had any scoop on him and would I check into him. And I said, yeah, sure. That was Brian Fairman.
Oh, wow.
And who was based out of London. And then I had a chat with her like a week later, and I said, I got nothing bad to say. Like I've got, and he was apparently working mostly with rock bands, not country bands. So anyway, blah, blah, blah.
You've got so many stories. I'm telling you, every time I have you on, it's like I learned something more.
Well, the thing is that I think if you've been around long enough, you will have stories. Now, that said, too, the more and more I look back on my life, and you know what happens sometimes, too, and it has over the last few years, where I'll call it the iconic artists have spent more time together. And it's not that we weren't friends. I have a feeling that we're not in the kerfuffle as much anymore. Mm-hmm. And so I find it a little more relaxed. And as I said, you know, I've known,
which is nice.
Yeah, like, and really we've all sort of hung out, done shows together, and we've known each other for a long time. You know, Pat and Bob. I'm talking about Patricia. Mm-hmm. And so now that was another. She had Bob Funk and Jay Bittner.
That's true.
Oh, great! Like, and so whenever we were on the same show, I always would make sure that I caught their show because two of the coolest guitar players ever. Mm. Like, and when they played together.
Oh, amazing shows.
Oh,
amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. Definitely remember that. Patricia's been on fire this year, too. And last
she's
year,
been,
holy cow.
Yeah, writing like crazy. And she's a really good songwriter. You know, we finally wrote a song together maybe a decade ago. It was the first time we had written together. It was her and Jimmy Rankin and I.
Nice.
And it was a cool tune. Jimmy recorded it, and I put it on my record as well.
Wow.
And that was a fun ride. She's a great writer. Mm-hmm. She really is, and she's a very contemporary writer.
Yes, I would say definitely, because there's so many current hits, you know, that right mm-hmm. now that she's written. Yeah, really, really good.
Yep, and I'll just say she's a really strong writer. She's got a cool voice too.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say she's one of my favorite female writers in country music. And then if I was flipping it to male writers, Derek Rattan is at the top of my list. And somebody else who, and he is getting the credit as a singer, but Dean Brody is a really strong songwriter too.
Mm-hmm. Very much, very mm-hmm. much. He is so talented. A lot of people don't know that he writes an awful lot when it comes to the other artists too, right?
You're talking about Dean or?
Dean.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I didn't know this because this happened. Are we doing an interview now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sorry. I didn't know whether if we were still going. No, that's funny because it's like I've had some great chats with Cal Grattan and stuff. It's like, okay, here, I'll start rolling now. It's like, okay. What was I saying? The Dean Brody thing. So mm-hmm. I did something for Jason Berry. We did this past summer, and it was a podcast kind of thing via Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Allen was on it, and Jason and myself. And it was a songwriting circumstance. And Dean Brody's record representative was on this panel as well.
Mm-hmm.
So the part that I wanted to share with you is I didn't realize that Dean writes a lot of the songs totally on his own.
Oh, a like lot. Yeah.
Yeah. And he goes, like he takes like a 10 day trip into the forest and he writes a whole record.
Wow.
And then comes back. And it was like, wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Now what I can relate to in that circumstance in years gone by is, cause the pandemic kind of made it you're sort of writing and recording all the time,
mm-hmm.
But when it was, you know, you made a record every couple of years, right? And it was time to write. And that sometimes catches people off. What do you mean it's time to write? It's like, well, yeah, it's writing time. And what I've done in my head and these days on your phone, in the old days, it would have been on a cassette machine.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got all these little chord progressions, a little melody, like I noodle. And I collect all these noodling things. And then it's like, oh, it's time to start writing for the record. So then I go back. So I suspect Dean doesn't just go into the bush
No.
Without anything, right? Yeah, just because that would be, okay, I want to know who he's meeting in a bush, and I want to go to the same bush, if that's the case, right? But yeah, so he's probably thought through or started some of these ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's time to finish them. And that's sort of, you know, mm-hmm. pre-production, setting up the songs for a new album.
I know you usually start writing October, right? You go into studio and start writing?
Well, normally what I'd say, and I'm a little confused these days because you and I were talking about this, the COVID thing has kind of, you know, changed all the formats.
Mm-hmm.
And so normally what I would have done is that's when I'd start noodling. That's a good in the fall. And usually the core time for me was like about the end of January through to the end of April. That's when I'd write 3 days a week kind of thing and focus on writing, not just for my stuff, but for other artists.
Mm-hmm.
And then summertime was gigging, right? And then as you coined it again, you start looking at the creative process in the fall, as you picked October. And
mm-hmm.
that's right. That's when you start noodling
mm-hmm.
and start thinking about what you might like to write.
When it comes to the songs that you've been releasing, because this is the third song that you've got for the studio album, your 10th studio album, that's pretty mm-hmm. amazing.
Yeah, it's interesting. Watch me jump back to the 80s, we had like 5-6 hits in the 80s. As well. But I never had an album.
Mm.
They were just all singles. And that was just sort of a thing to do back then, which is not ironic. It's not too uncommon these days, right?
Yeah, where I guess not, right? A lot of people still do singles, especially lately in the last 2 years.
Right. And then maybe it's not a full album. Maybe it's an EP.
Mm-hmm.
Some kind of project, and that's what's happened. Like my goal originally was, I turned 60 last year in April, and I wanted to do 2 albums before I was 60.
Mm.
And I at the time I made that statement to myself, Kim, I was probably 57. Like, so we did 2 albums over 3 years, and then the thought was, okay, after my birthday, which was April, then that summer, probably I'd be out touring. And that's when COVID hit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so then that's fine that the album release got a little delayed. And then I just figured, well, I might as well keep writing and recording. So that's why we're, as you pointed out, we're on to the third single and the third album in that grouping,
mm-hmm.
which ultimately would be the 10th.
The 10th. I can't believe, you know, how many singles you've had to date. And it's what, 62 or 63? 62?
Actually, I think we're in the 70s.
Are you really?
Yeah, because I'm trying to think of what we put down last time. I hope I'm not off, but I think it is.
Wow.
That's yeah, that's that is a lot, isn't it?
Yes,
is that
it
too
is.
Is that too many?
No. It's just amazing how many you've released in your career. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been around. I mean, and with 10 albums, that's a lot of songs
mm-hmm.
from those albums, right?
Mm-hmm. What's your favorite? Maybe one that you haven't released? Maybe something that you never think that's ever going to, you know, surface to the light of day for anyone? But is there a special song that really gets you emotional?
Well, I would say... Well, if I was trying to pick something that hasn't been released, I would probably go with "Make Me Believe," and that now that also said, Kim, we released "Do You Think of Me" not as a single, but with a video to Facebook,
mm-hmm.
and that's another personal song that
nice.
I think that "Open a Window" is another one, which again we did a video for. Which connected to mental health, because
mm-hmm.
those, what I'd call them, I, you know, if anybody uses this term anymore, is I would refer to them as album cuts, and I've always believed in album cuts, right from the get-go, and I would share that with any new young artist. Because here's the deal, is that you're going to get an opportunity, if you're doing an album, and we'll call it 10 songs, sometimes it's a little more, a little less, you've got 10 songs to work with. And I understand you're trying to compete in the music business, so you need 6 singles. Mm-hmm. But you're not, you know, you may not even get 6 off the record. And the reason I pick 6 is, to me, that gives you 4 songs to play with. And maybe 2 of them go left and 2 of them go right. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is not politics. That just means maybe 2 are a little more traditional or acoustic or rootsy, and 2 are a little more rockier, mm-hmm. you know, whatever it is. But don't be afraid. And don't be afraid to, because this has happened too in writing sessions, is like the idea gets doesn't get evolved because you know it's not going to be a single. Mm-hmm. But it's a great idea. And those are the kind of songs that I think, if you're a singer-songwriter, you need to write those as well. And so that long-winded diatribe I just went on is just, when you asked me, were there songs that didn't get released or that are emotional for me? And mm-hmm. yes, there are. And those 3 come to mind. But I don't see them as singles. The one surprise was Basement of a Church.
Yes,
which was in that category. Mm-hmm. And that was interesting because it was going to be like, we were always going to shoot a video. Obviously it was connected to Ange and my our wedding. Mm-hmm. And it was going to be a family event based on the song itself. But we were originally just going to make a video and throw it out on Facebook, as we did with Do You Think of Me and as we did with Open a Window. And then we just said, okay, well, let's take a chance and release it as a single. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of did both.
Such a good song. I love that song. Really different. Really different. And it was just so catchy. And it was just the perfect timing. And, you know, so many people could really relate to that song. It was so, so good.
Thank you. And going back to that one, just before to finish that, is that Make Me Believe, which was the title track of the Greatest Hits record. Mm. And that was, you know, the personal story there was that was the end of my marriage. And mm. and that that was one of the first songs I wrote, in essence, about that. And it's you know, I just think it's a sweet song. And it's is there one moment left? Is there one chance? Mm-hmm. Is there one thing that you could do to make me believe?
Nice.
And it's not up tempo. It's a laid back story song. Right? Mm-hmm.
You've written some really emotive songs that you know, really stand out to me. I am chatting with my very special guest, singer songwriter Jamie Warren,
and dancer. Yeah, a lot of true. I don't get a lot of credit for that, but just I want to throw that out there.
I've seen you dance, my friend.
Okay. I use that to bug my son mostly, but it's okay.
There we go. Now, when it comes to working on this particular album, when you look at the songs that you wanted to write and release, did you have something set in mind for these particular ones?
Yeah, it's interesting you asked me that, because originally, as I stated, that we were looking at doing 2 albums, right? Mm-hmm. Back to back before I was 60. And if I look at my history, that's after I do 2 records, it's not just time for a break, but it's time for something different. Mm-hmm. And to change it up production wise or arrangement wise or songwriting wise. And so I think that's kind of what we did. At least I thought we were on this 3rd record. So as an example, the first single was Cows and Corn. Now that's
I loved that song. I didn't know when I heard the title. I went,
I know.
But well, it's such a good song.
Thank you. Well, that's, and to me, that's sort of, the next step from One Step Back, or mm-hmm. sort of to look back at how I grew up. And I've always referenced Cows and Corn. And what that really, that's the region. That's what I, you know.
Hanover, Ontario.
Hanover, Ontario. Yeah. Cows and Corn. And so, But your reaction to the title was exactly what I expected, because everybody goes, what? And so to me, that was changing it up. It's like, okay, let's, and then the next tune, even Jesus Shrugs His Shoulders Sometimes. Okay, now that's a pretty interesting title.
I liked the story behind this, though. This was cool. Yeah.
And so that was, you know, I just wanted to do something, you know, I had that, and I'm kind of going, okay, with all those S's, if I can actually sing that, okay, just alone, that's going to be kind of cool. And we tried to do, again, a little more contemporary, different approach to the arrangement and the production. And then the third single, Heart Coming Around, again, is sort of an island tune. And we were again, just trying to mix up the feel, just to have something a little more fun. And then the new single...
Loves Me.
It Loves Me, yeah. And there's a couple of funny stories with that. But it's a rocker. And again, I'll get mathematic. In rock music, there's a flat seven. And the everybody's going, what? And so what it is in music here, and Rick, I studied theory. I just kind of forgot most of it. And it was Rick Hutt, my producer, that this is years ago, sat me down at the piano. I'm a piano player too. And he said, do you know what you're playing? And I said, well, not really. He said, okay. And so he explained it to me, the scale, right? And we all heard do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. And what you do is put a number there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. One and eight is the octave, right?
Oh, okay.
All right. So here's the quick mathematics is that, so if you're in the key of G, now I'm going to go, and it's 1, 4, 5 are the major chords. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 4, 5 is the chord progression you need, and the minors are the 2 and the 6. So if you're trying to figure out what chords to play in pretty much any song, it's 1, 4, 5 major and 2, 6 minor.
Very interesting. So
when you're playing the key of G, it's G, C, and D, 1, 4, 5. And the two minor chords are E minor, which is the 6, and the A minor, which is the 2. Now, those are the chords that will happen pretty much all the time. Country music has an interesting old-timer change, which goes to the 2 major. Rock and roll music has this thing called the flat 7. And it's not really flat, but what it is, it's a 7 chord. And if I'll show it to you when we get to me playing the new single. Mm-hmm. And you would have heard it in Taking Care of Business by BTO.
Oh.
And so I had that little chord, and that was the start of this tune. I wanted a summer rockin' song. And I think that's what we've created.
Very cool.
And well, then the Loves Me is just a corny play on words. It's a rhyme. it's
there's always a rhyme with you. This I know. I know.
And it comes from, okay, so there's a bit of story. So it comes from Suds, Buzz, Loves. And so because you would normally say Love Me.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't sing the same way. And so it was funny. Ange was, when she first heard the song, she's going, are you sure that's what you want to say? And I'm going, yeah.
I can picture her saying that.
Yeah, she's going, and I get it. And the funny thing was, the last province I played, and this is going back to like 2004, because I've been across the country for years and years, right, was Newfoundland. And so we did a bunch of shows for 2 weeks in Newfoundland. And I was staying in a bed and breakfast, and I'm not making this story up, it's true. So I was getting my breakfast at like 10 in the morning. And so what I found out after is the gentleman that was in the kitchen, and he was doing some work and singing, he was doing some drywalling at the house, right? And he's singing, and I made my day. I was listening to him sing, and then he started this tune. And this is what he sang. He said, "He said I loves you till I die." And he goes into the George Jones tune.
Hmm.
And so Loves is sort of an East Coast Newfoundland thing where they put an S on stuff. So if anywhere this song could be successful, maybe it will be.
On the East Coast.
Yeah.
That's coming out after the long weekend in May.
Yeah, it'll come out on the Tuesday. Geez, I should know my math. I think.
Yes. You unprepared? What?
I know.
What?
It's kind of like I could get up and go check. But yes, it's going to come out. I do know this. It comes out the week after the long weekend.
Okay.
So that I know.
All
so
right.
the long weekend. You know that Monday that you have off. Well, that Friday
week.
that week is going to be out.
That one's when it's coming out.
Loves Me. Well, it's a tune that I wanted to create a song or a fun summer tune. And again, I was talking earlier.
I
played with the
yeah.
yes, I played with the flat seven, which when I'll explain when I played the guitar, and it does, you know, it's sort of a riff that I stole from BTO, Taking Care of Business, so to speak, and it's a riff that exists in a lot of tunes, and it's not so much a riff, but and I wanted a rockier feel, and I was leaning towards a Doobie Brothers. Now watch me date myself.
I love
right?
Doobie Brothers.
Me too.
They are one of my favorite bands. Yes.
Well, see, and so there's two overdubs we haven't done yet. We've got to get Jeremy in at the studio, and I'm going to do these background vocals, and we're going to have some thick, again, I'm going to say the Doobie Brothers. I just wanted to sort of, you know, touch on that meets country. And it's a fun up-tempo tune, and then of course the play on Loves Me, which we were talking about, that will do really well
in
Newfoundland. Yeah. But Suds, Buds, and Loves, you know, it's a fun summer drinking tune.
Nice. We need one of those.
Trying to talk a girl into getting rid of this goofy guy. That's actually the gist of the tune.
Love it.
Yeah.
I love it. We're going to play it right now for you. Here is the exclusive debut of multi-award-winning country artist Jamie Warren with his brand new single, Gonna Make You Wanna, right here on Music's Journey.
I think if you could see him just one time through my eyes, you'd walk away. I've watched him look right through you to someone else across the room. Come on, girl, for sure, there's a better way. Cause baby, you deserve so much more. Loves me. Breaks my heart you had to spend even one night with a guy like him. He's just a fool, it's not cool. I need to let him know. Cause baby, you deserve so much more. Come on, let me help you show up to the door. Gonna make you wanna love me. Gonna jump on the floor, baby, dance with you before it's getting gonna make it love me. Come on, baby, take my hand. I'll show you how to treat a lady and introduce you to a real man. I ain't trying to waste your time. Maybe a little bit, but baby, I'm just trying to help you. Well, but you deserve so much more. Let me help you show 'em to the door.
I think if you could see him just one time through my eyes.
You heard it here first. That's the exclusive debut of Jamie Warren's new single, Gonna Make You Wanna, out later this May. What a great song by my very special guest, Mr. Jamie Warren.
Love that song.
The fact that I remembered all the words that time, that was good. Still, that's always the magic of
live.
You know. Oh, well, and having a new song.
That's you know. Right. That's
yeah,
right.
We still got, at the time we're doing the interview, we've got Jeremy's going to come in, Jeremy Williams, and add some background vocals. And then we'll have Shane Gusek
in
to add a little bit of fiddle. We've got some amazing guitar on it already.
Very cool. So Shane's on this one too.
Pretty rock.
Very cool.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Nice.
Shane might not know it yet. But, Good enough. Shane's played on a lot of this stuff over the last, like, these three albums.
Oh, very cool.
Just a great player.
Oh,
and
he is. He's one of my faves. Absolutely.
Yeah. So we want fiddle on it, and he's our first call. And then Jeremy to add some vocals to it. And we're getting pretty close. And then, as I mentioned to you, I don't know if I mentioned it during the interview, but we were in Mexico for a vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And so we shot a video. Ange has the new iPhone. And so we spent an hour on the beach and around the pool, and there's some pretty cool backdrops. And so we brought the footage back and gave it to Terry. So there's going to be a cool video that goes with it.
Is that going to be coming out the same time as
yes,
the single?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Lots to look forward to after the May long weekend.
Oh, heck yeah.
I want to go back to even Jesus Shrugs His Shoulder Sometimes. Because this one, I know it is. Talk to us about writing this one, because it's kind of cheeky a little bit.
Yeah, it's one of those things where when you hear the title, and again, not to go back to Cows and Corn, but you get maybe a preconceived idea what the song might be about.
Mm-hmm.
And even Jesus Shrugs His Shoulder Sometimes, it is kind of literal, is that sometimes he goes, hey man, it's up to you.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't, but whenever you hear the word Jesus, I think sometimes you could automatically think it's a religious song, and it's actually not.
Mm-hmm.
And in essence, it's funny, on some of the Facebook posts I got, I didn't get many dislikes, but the funny thing is both the person who was very religious didn't care for the song, and then somebody who was very atheist didn't like the song either. And I'm kind of going, really? I managed to piss off both sides. That's all right.
Hey, hole in one.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Yeah, and it's just sort of and again, it was those words.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote them down driving in the car. And I can't tell you exactly where it came from, but it was just it was the S's.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that those kind of things have always fascinated me as a songwriter, is that if you know, if you can get, sometimes it's cool words or interesting rhymes or internal rhymes, you know, I think that's sort of part of the contemporariness. Ooh, maybe we just invented a word.
You like the way it sounds.
Yeah. I could maybe put that in a song. That's, I think, you know, what country music is these days. And the other thing, too, is that not to repeat something I may have said in the past, is that I remember doing an interview with Bob Kingsley. And there was a couple things. One was he asked me about this Canadian thing, and I shocked him by saying, I explained it to him, what it was. I don't think he expected an answer. But the other thing was, what's this contemporary country music thing? Like, And I've used this in interviews in the past, and I said, well, you can blame Merle Haggard. And that's when they go, what? And that's not the answer they expect. Now, it is true that if you looked at rap music with their internal rhymes and the cadence, yes, absolutely, they played a part in what we call contemporary music today.
Aaron talks about that. Aaron Allen talks about that too.
Well, see, but the other thing too is that what you have to be aware of is country music from a long time ago. And to take a look at this evolution didn't come from just rap music. And so with the Haggard thing. So remember we were talking about mathematics, 1-4-5-2-6 minor. You need to take the three well-known redneck Merle Haggard songs out of the mix. Now, I'm not saying I like them. Okie from Muskogee, great songs, right? But what I'm saying is look at his other 100 singles. And you're going to find a four minor, which is a contemporary chord change. Like he had some interesting chord changes in his music. And the big thing that Haggard brought to the table, in my estimation, is the personal conversational approach, where in the past it was four on the floor. Like, you know, as an example, rolling with the flow. Wait. Rolling where the lonely go. Like nobody ever would do that. It would be rolling with the flow, rolling where the lonely go. That's what anybody else would have done. And he made it that push pull, that lean, like that's how people talk. And so I think Haggard brought some different chord changes and that sort of conversational thing, right? That sort of personal approach. And then the other thing too is that it was Dottie West had a great tune. I heard it in the car the other day, which also became a Jody Messina tune, right? A Lesson in Leaving. And you got to listen to the alliteration and the internal rhymes. And this was a hit that Dottie West wrote in like and released it in the late 70s. Another one too is like Tom T. Hall. I love little baby ducks. Chickens when they cluck, I'm making up words, and da-da-da-da, suck, and blah. Like, that's three rhymes in a row. Like, that's Tom T. Hall. So there's been some very interesting songwriters over the years that would be considered in our traditional past that we don't pay enough or give enough credit to. And we sort of look at the newer generation in terms of rap music and rock music affecting country music, which it certainly does. But nothing is ever from scratch. You know, somebody's copying something.
We're going to play it right now. Here is Even Jesus Shrugs His Shoulders Sometimes by my very special guest, country artist Jamie Warren, here on Music's Journey.
Sometimes it just don't work out and you don't get what you want. Don't take it personally. Just learn to live with what you got. Yeah, because it's enough. The last time that you'll get to fall in love. Sometimes the answers, they don't come from above. Some days the ache in your soul can leave you lost and alone. Look for the light on inside, and if you close your eyes, there's nothing wrong with the prayer. And if your answer isn't there, just remember, even Jesus shrugs his shoulders sometimes. These days that you get a busy signal, just hang up and put down the phone. Move on. There'll be another job, another chance will come along. Yeah, just be strong. Cause you gotta learn, don't sweat the small stuff. Sometimes the answer doesn't come from above. Some days the ache in your soul can leave you lost and alone. Look for the light on the side, and if you close your eyes, there's nothing wrong with a prayer. But if your answer isn't there, just remember, even Jesus shrugs his shoulders sometimes. Yeah.
If you close your eyes, there's nothing wrong with a prayer, but if the answer isn't there, just remember, even Jesus shrugs his shoulders sometimes. Some days you just gotta put up with the stuff and move on. Hey, don't you worry, I ain't saying that you're all on your own. Just make it right, hold it tight. Yes, all night long, womp, 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 womp.
That was Even Jesus Shrugs His Shoulders Sometimes by my very special guest, Jamie Warren. This was such a fun song. I really enjoyed this one, and it's one I've played several times.
Good.
And it's just because you catch something a little different every time you play it.
Well, that's I'm glad you liked it, because that was one of the goals of that tune, was just to be a little different.
And you definitely did that. It was really, really a good song. Now, talk to us about your third single that you released off of this one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So talk to us about that one, because that one is such a special one, and that's Heart Coming Around. And that one, we did a little snippet, sorry, in the beginning of this one. And this one is your, well, we're not sure how many singles you have now, so whether or not it's
right
in the 70s or not.
Yeah, I think it is. I think we're like, I think it's like 72 or 73. But mm-hmm. I'll know that. I should probably pay more attention to me. But I don't. What I mean is that I don't know. Like, it's time to redo the bio. And it's like, oh, right, just go plus one.
That's more than 62.
I know. It's but, yeah, The Heart Coming Around was just, again, a tune I wrote with Carrie DeMare. And it's one of those things where it was not really about the content, even though it's a fun song, mm-hmm. right? Like that was the idea, was let's have a fun tune. And we created an island backdrop, which again was just adding a fun thing. And for me too, the falsetto drop down through, do you think that there's a way that we could play that? That was just sort of, again, a fun melody.
Mm-hmm.
And the lyrics, do they matter? Yeah, sure they do. But, that's always a joke between Carrie and I, because I totally, right, because we started our interview talking about these great story songs that I've written that mean the world to me. But the joke with Carrie and I is that I like to know the structure of the song and the melody and the phrasing. And I go, lyric schmirics. It's like, we usually have a hook, but this is a pretty true template for us, is that we now have the structure of the whole song, like where the bridge will fit, what's the chord change and stuff like that. And then it's like, well, I guess now we need to write a couple verses and finish the chorus, because
mm-hmm.
we have no lyrics. But and Heart Coming Around was just that, was just again, I'm repeating myself to say we were having fun, and that which is part of the intro was Rick, and that was me.
Oh, was it really?
Oh yeah. having some fun, and we've got a really fun part too in the new single,
which, is Carrie singing in this with you? Who's singing
no,
in this one?
That's Jeremy
oh,
Williams.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we haven't, you got me thinking now. I don't think we've had a girl on the last few singles. Jeremy sings pretty high, just saying.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. And you had to go pretty high on this one too.
Yes.
Yes.
I did. That's why, I'm cheating because I did the falsetto. That's my, and okay, here's, I'll bounce this off. And I'll credit Jason Berry for this. Do you remember, he referred to this as an inverted, what did he refer to it as? But it's my Slim Whitman thing.
Uh-huh.
Is that I have this little falsetto thing, like, like this little thing. I'm sure right now your listeners are going, what did he just do? Oh, I know. Jason would refer to it as an inverted yodel.
An inverted yodel.
Yes. And so anyway, but I don't know if anybody would ever remember Slim Whitman.
Mm-hmm. I do.
Okay. The yes. KTEL commercials and all that sort of
that's
stuff.
Right.
Him and Boxcar Willie.
That's right.
We're real big on those KTEL commercials. sell my records.
No, like when with Carrie, she writes so many hit singles that so many people don't know about as well. She's just one of those hidden gems here in Canada.
And great songwriter.
Absolutely.
And has her own band. Like, she's been sort of working on a record. She was a singer and part of a band called Crazy House.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they I don't know how we'd categorize them, Kim. Like, maybe I would say, well, folk.
It's I would folk say folk.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And that was and that's how I met her, because they recorded at Cedar Tree with Rick going back, and her husband Lawrence played in that band, and Carrie's the bass player.
She is just incredible all the way through, and just so many people have no idea how many songs out there that they're listening to that she's written. Mm-hmm.
And
she's,
and by the way,
so talented.
Since we're picking on CD, is that she also played a very high level of hockey. She was a great goalie, and she played for our national team at one point in her hockey career when she was in her 20s.
So, I remember talking to her about that when I had her on the show. I forgot all about that until you said it.
Mm-hmm. Now, you can't get much more Canadian than that.
That's right. Exactly. And she was good, really good too.
Oh, I know. She played at a really high level, yeah.
Yeah.
She played for, as I said, I think she was the backup goalie for our national team for a while.
Wow. Goalie's not an easy thing, boy. I'm telling you.
No.
And to stay good at it for a long length of time, it's usually a very short career.
Oh, for
sure.
You know,
for goalies. Yeah.
Yep.
Here's the latest single, and that is Heart Coming Around by country artist Jamie Warren here on Music's Journey.
To grin, it's been a while since I smiled and took this heart out for a spin. I could listen to this band play all night long. Come on, yeah, what do you say? You dance with me and we start singing along. Oh, oh. Take a walk, oh, can we talk? I thought I'd make you weak in the knees. Come on, babe.
Come on, babe.
Don't turn me down. Don't be thinking I'm crazy.
Crazy.
Can't you hear the sound? The sound of your heart coming around. Well, you're still here. It's last call. I got a feeling that it might be all in, but that's okay. Say, let's just leave it out on the floor and not fall. Well, I could listen to this band play all night long. Come on, give them, what do you say? Take a chance with me and we keep singing along. Oh, oh. Do you think that there's a way that you can stay and play a little longer with me? Just before you take a walk, oh, can we talk? I thought it made you weak in the knees. There's a way that you could stay and play a little longer with me.
take a walk or can we talk? I thought I'd made you weak in the knees. Yeah, come on, babe.
That was the latest single by country artist Jamie Warren. That's Heart Coming Around. That's going to be coming out on the upcoming 10th studio album this year.
We're still trying to figure that out. The interesting thing is that we're trying to figure out COVID. Like, I think there probably should be a photo shoot. This is hilarious, Kim. that's part of the reason why the second record, right? Yeah, I'm trying to think of the name of all my records here. All the Above was the one before.
Secret to Life.
Secret to Life. Thank you so much. I'm glad you're paying attention.
Think about it for a second. Right. Like, oh, yeah.
Well, we were going to release that in May. And part of the reason it wasn't released is we couldn't do the photo shoot because everything was locked down.
Mm.
And we were booked to do it, I think, in April. Anyway, so it didn't come out till Christmas.
Wow.
And so that's all I'm saying is we're just recording right now. I will say there will be a record. There will be a CD.
It's coming.
I can rephrase that. Yes, there will be. Maybe this year. I kind of suspect so.
Okay.
But it's just I'm not really in a rush. And the reason is just because, you know, we're going to keep recording a couple more songs. And we pretty much got enough for an album, I think.
Very cool.
We got to finish up a couple more tunes, and
we always get excited when you're releasing an album.
Oh, cool! Well, thank you.
Very, very excited when you release one because we always know that there's just going to be so much fun, you know, from front to back. Because there's, like you said, it's always changing it up, and we're always getting something different out of it. But we always, always enjoy everything that you release, and you're always so great to have on the show because you're just a fountain of information.
Oh, I get well, yeah.
Just so much knowledge up there.
Thank you. My dad would probably say something similar, but he might have used.
See, that's
BS,
where that Jesus stuff is coming
BS.
In.
Yeah. Yeah. He said, "Yeah, you're a pretty good talker, buddy." That's what he'd. But here's the thing: is guess where I learned that from?
Him.
Yep.
Yep. Usually, you know, apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Exactly.
That's right.
There's a funny story. My parents, I think we were supposed to wrap up the interview, sorry, but my mom played piano and sang, and my dad played guitar, and he sang a bit and played mandolin. Like, I come from musical background.
Mm-hmm.
And so my dad, one of the last songs, and it was played at his funeral, he didn't write the song, but it was I don't look good naked anymore.
Oh.
I just don't look good naked anymore. I was missing a syllable, yeah. And so we played that at his funeral, and it's a hilarious song, and he used to play it when he'd go out and do sort of the jam nights. My mom and him would go out with the older crew circles, mm-hmm. you know, when they were retired in Wasaga Beach, and that was his go-to song. And it's pretty funny.
You'll have to play it one day.
I should learn it. But see, the problem is I don't really want to sing that yet.
You're
right. Let me look around, make sure Ange isn't listening. Okay. You didn't really say that. No, I didn't. No.
Yep.
Yep.
That's so funny. See, you just never know what's going to come out, you know, in these interviews with you. You just never
know. I bet you Thomas Wade, now, not that he doesn't look good naked, I bet you he probably knows that song. He's got a couple of classic, funny country songs that and a couple of them he's
written. It's the April Fool's
too.
Thing, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
See, we could top that in there, you know.
You know, I owe him a dig. There you go.
There you go. You owe him a few, I think.
Oh,
at this point.
I think so.
just a few. Just a few.
We've written a lot. And by the way, great songwriter on that note, too. He and I have written a lot of songs together over the years, mm-hmm. Thomas.
Absolutely.
And was ahead of his time. Like, meaning, what I mean is he was one of the first Oh, sorry. This is where you should have said, okay, we're going to say goodbye, Jamie.
No, we don't need to. I'm okay. I'm okay. Okay. I just wasn't sure if you were, so we're good.
No, but Tom had, I wish I could remember the title of the song. He had a successful video on CMT, and it was near the end of, it was his Thomas Wade and Wayward project, and it had a rap moment in the song. And now because of that, it didn't do well at radio, but CMT played it. Like, it got acknowledgement that way. And that's when I said he's a little ahead of his time. Mm-hmm. Like, that was, it was a really cool song, and it incorporated sort of a mid to up-tempo contemporary presentation. Like, and it was, it's just, again, sometimes when you're a little ahead of the curb,
you get turned down.
Yeah. 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 It's 100%. You know, and I can relate to that.
Yeah, a lot of artists can definitely relate to that when it comes to trying to come out with some new stuff, especially today. We were talking about songs like Thomas Wade, like mm-hmm. Corey Marks, for example. When you're talking about so many of the artists that want to break into doing something different, but bringing back some of that old Waylon Jennings and just coming into that modern take on it. And they get rejected for quite a while, but I'm telling you, the fans love it. But really, really great stuff out there that's just not on the radio yet.
Well, I agree. And there's a couple things I'd say to that, and I'll address Waylon Jennings. But anyway, it was a songwriters forum, and they had a group of well-known Ontario-based singer-songwriters, and the one guy. And I apologize because I can't remember his name, because he was sort of new to country music, and he's not doing it so much anymore. But what he said I thought was so poignant. He said, "You realize, of course, the songs that you're hearing on the radio are 2 years old." And I'm looking around to see more people go, "Oh," like had that little light bulb pop, and nobody was. And I'm going, I wanted to go, "Excuse me, hey." And so the point to the story is that he's right. Mm-hmm. And so as people are trying to imitate what's on the radio right this moment, somebody else is writing something different that will be the cool thing 2 years from now. Mm-hmm. And so I think that being authentic is important. You should always be aware of what your environment offers, right? Like, you know, what is on the radio? Mm-hmm. It is important to have a sense of production values and what you're competing against. You know, if you're a country artist, I suspect I would recommend you listen to country music. But also that authenticity, sometimes you may not be accepted immediately. You know, it's kind of like the lineup metaphor. Is, you know, you look at it and the lineup to get into this place is so long. Mm-hmm. If you wait in that line, you may actually never get in. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, well, maybe find a new club where there's no lineup. Now, the problem with that is nobody knows about the club, mm-hmm. but you'll be the first one in. And eventually, or hopefully, there might be a lineup there and you're already inside. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so that... maybe it's not the best metaphor, but sometimes, or here's another usurp, is that when there's a long lineup, maybe you know somebody in the kitchen and you can come in the back door. Mm-hmm. You know, if that's the place you really want to be inside. But ultimately, follow some form of authenticity, because things do evolve.
And
if they're really contemporary for a while, well, that's cool. I think it's awesome. Mm-hmm. There'll be something rootsy or traditional or different that breaks that mold.
Yeah.
It may not destroy it, but that's the other thing too, is when something is all of the above, they need a little refresher. You know, that you need a Miranda Lambert or a Casey Musgraves or a Luke Combs. Like, I think that a lot of the traditional based artists that have done well over the last 7 years, I think also their success is helped by the 85% of this contemporary stuff. Mm-hmm. Right. And they're that little embouchure cleanse mm-hmm. that that exists.
When you look at it that way, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, sorry.
Didn't
I
even think of it.
Menu. Well, and the other thing too, when you bring up Waylon Jennings, like there was a time, the outlaw music, right?
That's right.
The Outlaws, and which was Waylon, Willie, and Johnny Cash a little bit, but the I wish I could remember the brothers. They had a studio, and that what they basically did was they recorded with their own band, and they were one of the first people to do that in a long time in Nashville. So that what happened is not only were their songs a little bit different, but the production values were a little different. They weren't using the same guys that
all the time
played played on everybody else's stuff, and they grew their hair longer and had beards in terms of a visual, and so, but they were literally outlaws. They were on the out, but they became successful. So now they are no longer on the outs; they're on the inside. And so that always fascinates me, that all these iconic country artists that we all applaud, from, you know, Merle Haggard to Johnny Cash to Buck Owens, were all unaccepted at one point in their career in the beginning.
For the music industry, they, absolutely.
Yeah, because it was like, you're not country.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
that
hilarious.
Cookie
and then,
cutter, yeah.
Right. And then they become successful, and then they become the template for country.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
And that always fascinates me. I mean, Johnny Cash isn't a country artist. He's a folk artist. Now, I'm saying that because I'm a huge, I like Johnny Cash, but he is different.
Mm-hmm.
And Buck Owens got booed off the Opry stage. He was the first person to ever use an electric guitar.
Look at it now.
Yeah. And Buck Owens is, he's got that Bakersfield sound, which is California, but it was still traditional country, but it just had a little different edge to it. And historically, we have this problem, I think. We don't pay enough attention to our past or our history. We don't have to live in it, but at least acknowledge it and see the journey, see the waves, the peaks and valleys, because... Yeah, I mean,
everybody's got their place in history, you know, when it comes to music.
Yeah. Well, know? See, the other thing too, that what I lived through at my age is the 70s, right? Like the late 70s. And what I found fascinating is, what was country music then, Kim? Like it was everything from, my gosh, Tammy and George, right?
Still had pop in there.
There was B.J. Thomas.
Yep.
There was Kenny Rogers in the first edition, right? And eventually became Kenny. There was some really, what do you would you call it? Like pop goes the country.
Yeah, kind of. I would
actually say that time was the widest that country music ever was.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what. When I listened to the radio station in the car with my parents, right, driving, whether were we listening to country music or the pop station?
I'm not really sure. The 70s, you know, that's how I review, you know, the 70s is more on the pop country for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the story, and you can tell me when, cause I always have these stories, is that the, you know, I broke in the 80s, had my first hit in 1983 when I came. Oh, sorry, my apology, 1981.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an MOR hit called World of a Child. But my first country successful song was like in 84. And so the story I wanted to tell was I was living in Memphis in 1983. I was 22 years old. So I took a drive to Nashville, boarded a car. And I dropped off cassettes at a few different places. And the one place that seemed interested was Warner Brothers. And there was a gal by the name of Paige Levy. She might still be there. And she would have been a little older than me at the time. She was young. And so she took my cassette and she talked to me. And so I'm then, we talked a little bit. And then I went back to Canada. And so she had reached out through a letter and a phone call to the studio saying, we really like this tape from Jamie, you know, do you have anything more? And so then we went into the studio and we did Take Me Home Mississippi, which was a huge hit for me in 1985, and sent them a few more songs. And so ultimately we got a letter that said, thank you very much for all the information, or the music, sorry, from Jamie, and we think he's going to have a great future, but unfortunately we're going to go in a slightly different direction. So we wish you guys all the best. Now, they asked for two cassettes, so that was good. They were interested. Mm-hmm. So they went in a different direction. They signed some guy by the name of Randy Travis. So
jeez.
I know. And so whatever. And he did okay. He did okay.
Yeah, just a little.
The reason I tell that story, other than the fact that it's a cute story, is that I wasn't traditional. And so by the end of the 80s, it was Randy Travis, Ricky Skaggs.
Taking right? the podium nonstop.
And it evolved into to be more traditional. And I was a little more contemporary. Not just because of my age, but I've never really been a traditional country artist. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that was like the end of the 80s where I got tapped on the shoulder. And it was like, you're not really
not
country.
Right. Not right for this window.
Right. And then I resurfaced again in like 94. Because apparently I was country again.
See, you just never know. You know exactly. what that cookie cutter is going to look like 5 years from now, and you know what they're looking for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's why I just say be authentic.
Keep writing.
Yeah. Don't be afraid of album cuts.
Good advice. Very good advice. Can't wait to see you guys playing live again. It's just going to be nice just to sit in a room and just enjoy live music again. Oh.
You know, I so agree, Kim. Like it's been a while, and I'm excited to just play. Like mm-hmm. in the same way you want to hear us, I want to sit in front of you and play some songs through a sound system.
Which would be so awesome, wouldn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Do an interview live would be just. I have missed it. It's just been so long.
There's
two and a half years. It's been a long time.
It has been a long time, and there's been sort of bits and pieces, but I really kind of feel that that this we're coming back this summer and this spring, and there will be opportunities to see people play, and there'll be opportunities for people to play, and that excites me.
Well, this is a special year, I think, in a lot of ways, you know, for so many people. I know for me, just to be able to start getting out now and, you know, coming off of what I've come off of.
Oh, sure, exactly.
And yeah, just to be able to get out there and just be in the pits again and just starting, you know, to get back into things again. So just a huge change for a lot of us. Shedding out the old, Kim. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're looking forward to it.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing you too.
I know,
I'm
it's
glad,
been too
I'm
long.
Glad you're, I know.
Way too long. I'm just, I know I've got some hurdles I got to get through in the next, you know, month or two, but at least I'm going to be able to get out there. So I'm really looking forward to it. Seeing
well,
a live concert.
To...
Yay.
Yeah. And possibly having a grown-up beverage together.
That would
across,
be awesome.
Across the table.
That would be Woo-hoo! So cool. We can give hugs at that point, maybe.
Oh, there
just,
you go.
Wouldn't that even be better? Yes. Yeah. It would be awesome. Now, you just got back, as you said, with your beautiful wife. And she's been out there shooting some stuff for you. So some really cool things. What about the golf course? That's coming real soon.
Yeah, you know, it's sort of interesting that, like, I do a lot of my golfing down the KW way. Mm-hmm. And they really got a lot of snow this year. So it's also the Masters, which is the first major golf tournament.
Mm-hmm.
They, of course, connected to my birthday because I requested
it that
way. Insert laughter.
You had to
anyway,
do it.
But that's normally when we start golfing. But I have a feeling this year will be later.
Yeah,
later in April, but that's okay.
Unless you come to Niagara.
Well, and see, and where we are too, in Dutton, which is a little southwest of London, it's been green here for a while.
Yeah, swing a club or two. Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Right.
Yeah, a couple buckets. Mm. Who's better at the buckets, you or Angela?
Well, see, now, well, I don't
Should
want
I to. Should I ask her version of this one or yours?
You could ask her. I don't hit that many balls because, you know, I want to.
Save it up for the
good shots. Yeah. But it never hurts to hit a few.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Now she's getting really good, I hear.
She is. Well, it makes total sense to me because she's a natural athlete. That's we have similar backgrounds. I played a lot of sports like baseball and hockey and in a small town to golf, it wasn't an affluent sport, right? It was just, that's sort of what you did as well. and it wasn't that expensive. This is, well, gosh, this is back in the old days, right?
That's right.
And so, yeah, I mean,
today,
oh yeah, a little different today. And the next time we do an interview, you remind me of the golf, because I got a couple of great golf stories that, you know, kind of shaped my life.
We'll discuss those in May when you're being full swing.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
But yeah, but it makes, no, but Ange is a really good ball player, and she was a ringette player. She was, she's a really good skater. And we've skated together a few times. And so it makes total sense that her athleticism, you know, if you play hockey, if you play baseball, you're hitting something, right? Yeah.
Yep.
And so golf is just sort of the next thing that, that would be natural. Now it is a little unorthodox in terms of your grip and all that sort of stuff, but the change of weight and stuff. So she's doing really well. She's a good golfer.
Competition for you.
Oh yeah.
Nice. Very good. She's gotta stand up for all the ladies out there. It's been a long time since I've shot. Like I said, I think it'll be nice to be able to get out there and play a game with you guys. Would be so cool.
That would be fun. Yeah.
Yeah. You guys might be sticking around the hole for a while, but yeah.
It doesn't matter. I mean, it's, it's also a very social game.
That's right.
Like I've learned, well, we'll talk about that next time, but I don't take that. I enjoy.
You just have fun, right?
I'm a competitive golfer, and I enjoy the game. But yes, exactly. It's just a game.
You gotta have laughs when you're out there.
Exactly.
You gotta have a good time.
Oh, I agree. Yep.
Gotta do it. I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to it. Well, thank you so much, my friend, for coming back on the show. And we'll have you back on in May, so then we can talk more golf stories for sure. All right, we want to remind everyone that you can download Jesus Shrugs His Shoulders Sometimes and Heart Coming Around on all your streaming platforms, and you can download it on all your playlists and request the songs at your local country radio station as well. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. Give your wife a huge hug for us.
I will.
And we will see you this summer.
All right. You take care.
Okay. Take care. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I hope you enjoyed today's show. A great big thank you to my very special guest, country singer-songwriter Jamie Warren, for coming on the show. I've got some great shows coming up. I'll be interviewing Chris Buck, Devin Cooper, Smoke and Ashes, Josh Ramsey, Dan Davidson, Annika, New Moon Junction, Amy Sky, and Mark Jordan, Noella, and so many more. I hope that you will join me next time for the Music's Journey show. Don't forget, you can check out all my podcasts at musicsjourney.com for more of the artists and interviews that you don't want to miss. You also can check out all the articles that I write of all the artists that you know and love for all their latest music, videos, and reviews at nowandthenmagazine.com. Well, that's it for me, your host, Kim Sear. Thank you so much for tuning in to Music's Journey, and have yourselves a wonderful day. We'll see you next time on Music's Journey.
That was Friday. Showered up and chores done. 17 and looking for fun. First date, I picked you up in my daddy's car. Back roads, crop tour and gravel running. For sure we always got her done in time to make it to the fire. Where we light it up and burn it down till the sun can steal the shine from the stars. Baby, close your eyes and let it go back to that place we used to be. It ain't that far. Where the crickets sing a song to who we are. Yeah, we'll always come back to cows and corn. Had the sand between my toes, walked in the mountains when it snows, watched the sunset do its dancing on the lake. But baby, nothing can compare to the way you smile and stare at me flying down side road 28. And we light it up and burn it down till the sun can steal the shine from the stars. Baby, close your eyes. Crickets sing a song to who we are. Yeah, we'll always come back to cows and corn.
church bell singing to me on Sunday. When I close my eyes, let it go back to that place we used to be. It ain't that far. We'll light it up and burn it down till the sun can steal the shine from the stars. Where the crickets sing a song and who we are. And baby, I promise you that we'll always come back to cows and corn.